Hello and welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Mysterio Legacy, PK Red Towers, and Dungeons and Dragons. I guess we're going to start off our podcast talking about Mysterio Legacy because I was just playing while waiting for David Ray. And one of our members, one of our leaders, almost invoked the war and was like, all hands on deck, everybody return to the base, ASAP. And so I'm here ready for battle. Let's see here, I need to get some better armor. Because I don't fight much. What shield do I have? Bow, 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 bow. Let's see here. That's got plus 4 defense. But it's ancient 3, which adds 3 defense to it. So that would be like 7. I got this shield here. Oh, it's just a regular. Oh, it's got plus 7 defense too. Alright. I need one of those, but better. Thought I had another shield. Oh, well. Alright, I got this one. Plus 5 defense, 1 glowing, which is like plus 6 defense. So forget that. Let's see here, this armor. Oh, somebody bought the other shield. Alright, this one's... Oops, pick that back up. Drop this one. Use that. It's got plus 5 defense total with everything extra. 3. Okay, so the cloak I normally wear only has plus 3 defense. But that's a heavy armor, so I gotta make sure I, drop some items here so I can use this armor. Drop my shovel. I don't need this. So I'm unloading inventory. I got food I can cook up real quick on my wood. I got arrows. I got a buttload of arrows. Grab those. Drop off these stones. And bones. I don't need any bones. I got aloe. I don't need any feathers. I can drop them off. Those are valuable. Don't want to lose them. I got a short bow. Worms, don't need those. It should drop all the stuff I want over here in this pile. I don't want this potato. Potatoes are worthless. To me, somebody might want it. Turtle shell. Don't need that on me. And repair kit. Those two are about to break. Alright, go cook my food. Check the armory. See if there's anything better. They're asking if everyone's home. Yes. Just dumped inventory and preparing for battle. Drop all, pick up. All I'm cooking my food. I think that's all I got to cook. Yeah. All right, my eggs are done. Meat is done. Let's see if what kind of shields we have. Not rigor. Drop. What kind of armor we have. No different than what I already had. Okay. I pretty much got the best. I got the best of the best. Alright, let me drop my rings and my cloak that I don't need. Just in case I die, I don't lose all my good stuff. I might lose some good stuff. I won't lose everything. One guy says, "What did I miss?" I said, "You're grounded." All right, I gotta reorganize my stuff now. I want this here. Okay, got those organized. Oh, we got caught raiding. Somebody got busted. Raiding or something. All right, I'm going to send a personal message to Drafter. I guess we'll find out what happened. So Drafter did it. He led a raid against an inactive player, and then they returned. See, that's why I don't raid people. I'm trying to read chat here. I don't know what's going on. But basically, if I go outdoors, I'm potentially dead. I'm like, okay then, you got wood or pine cone? Question mark. I am either going... He only has 2 pine cones and 84 wood. I was like, ouch. Looks like I'm going hunting for wood. I gotta go lumberjack and try not to die. Let's see here. I need an axe. I'll contact Polar real quick. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about the podcast. I'm sitting here typing and reading. Oh, shit. Okay. So, I'm playing this game called Mysterio Legacy. It's interesting. It's kind of like Parallel Kingdom, and it's kind of like Red Towers. Except that, it's not location-based. It's an MMO. Hang on a second. She said Bella don't like nice guys. I said Bella likes me. I'm a nice guy. Hit the wrong button. Anyhow, oh, let me mute the phone. I gotta go to the bathroom. Oops, she responded. She said, I like you fine, Kima. Alright, let me mute this while I go to the bathroom, and I'll be right back. Okay. Let's see what was said real quick. Nothing important, doesn't look like. Yeah, I try to be friends with the enemy. Polar Star, aka Core. And Bella, they're like the most powerful players in the game. They're allies with our tribe, but not really. They're evil players. Then again, I'm not so sure that we're not either. I mean, our tribe, because they raid people just as much as anybody else. I think I've raided one person, and or maybe two, and that was because their building was falling apart, and it looked like they quit. So they didn't have any tattletales, and what I mean by that is towers will tattletale on you. So, like I said, they didn't have any towers. Their buildings were falling apart. They looked like they were inactive. You can't tell on this game whether somebody's inactive or not. So, you just tell by their building falling apart. And, so yeah, you got to be careful when you raid people, because like Drafter, he led a raid on an inactive player that became active. So maybe they weren't necessarily inactive. Or maybe they were inactive just a little too long because their building was falling apart. And then he led a raid on their building. And then they came back. And the shit hit the fan. Hang on a second. Uh-oh, hang on. I guess it was Bella's tribe. Hang on, let me find out. Drama. Let me find out what the drama is. So, anyways. I know why Bella didn't get super mad at our raid. I said, why? Cool, because Drafter showed some balls. And admitted to the raid. I'm asking, who did we raid? Bar or one of their allies? Somebody's blowing up the chat. All right, let's see here. I respect that. Okay, so. He admitted to the raid, and he showed some balls. And then Anastasia said, I respect that. And then she gave a heart. this guy says, yesterday, she, I think he was talking about Bella, was talking about how East is all no PvP and how this server is turning into East. So she will not let that happen. And if she ordered a hit on us, she'd be doing what she doesn't want this server to be. Oh. Okay. I should basically, the East server is no PvP, which means they don't want you attacking and raiding. And they like this being a PvP server that they control. They run the server. I said I should be on the East Coast server. LOL. And somebody said, nah, you're good here. And Drafter said, LOL, you're fine, Kano. A little PvP won't kill anyone for too long. So, about that +3 bronze hammer. How do I get my hands on one, and what level is it? Actually, I should say, and what level do I have to be to use it? The demolition crew. I'm the demolition crew, period. I clean up after other people's raids. That's a polar too. I guess I'm more like the demolition crew. Period. I clean up after other people's raids. I wasn't talking about your raid. I'm talking about anybody on the West Coast server. Period. I basically only tear down old buildings that have decay. Yeah, it's funny. Anytime I'm using my hammer out in public, and where's my thumbs up? Go through my microphone. That's why you'll usually see me give public notice when I'm using my hammer. So people know I'm not raiding. Raiding. Speaking of which, this old building I gotta go check on. I almost forgot about. It's actually one of ours, or one of our old players. So I can't get in trouble for that. Sweet, they're still standing. Let me see what they look like. They still got arrows in them, I think. Yep, 23 arrows in that one, 395 arrows in that one. So that keeps other people from tearing them down. I got time. Hey, maybe I'll turn this into my storefront. Instead of tearing down the towers. I'll rebuild. I already tore up a lot of this stuff. Mining right now. So let me go to our disclaimer. I wanted to talk about a few things, but David forgot to call in. I took a power nap. I almost didn't call in either. I was tired. Let me read to you our disclaimer. Oh, let me check this website. Oh, I gotta get on the internet. Alright, let me log off of my game. Log on to the internet. It's already been an hour. Text David Ray. Where are you at? Yeah. That's okay, there we go. Now I got internet. Check our company website. See if anybody signed up. Nope. All right. There we go. Written disclaimer. All right. So this is the Demented Dungeons and Dragons and ScrapGov Scrap written disclaimer. Legal notice. This is not our full disclaimer, for there is not enough room to write such disclaimer. Which is true. I mean, there's just not enough room. Okay? We could just keep adding to this disclaimer, making it super long and non-legible, like Obamacare. Okay. This podcast may be very controversial. Actually, it is. This podcast is our personal opinions, our views, and our beliefs. This podcast is for educational and or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence, and therefore you should always go and do your own homework. Yeah, basically the courts technically do not accept hearsay evidence. They will, but they say they don't, and so you can call them on the carpet for that. anytime you don't have first-hand knowledge of something happening, it's hearsay evidence. So, unless you have something on video, some tangible proof that something actually happened, then you really can't prove anything. Now, us saying something like, down with the New World Order, well, yeah, you can prove that we said that, and we are against the New World Order because the New World Order is against us. But, our alternative health, if you will, you know, that stuff, you don't have any evidence that we know what we're talking about, for one thing, let alone whether or not it works. And so we always tell you to go do your own homework. Well, you know, us saying that hedge apples cure cancer is just hearsay evidence. you don't know that it's fact or fiction. You would have to go figure it out for yourself. And so that's where we say, you know, our firsthand knowledge is your hearsay evidence. My firsthand knowledge is that if you take the milk from a hedge apple, it will cure, or not really cure. Maybe it won't cure, but it'll get rid of skin cancer. I mean, I've had people, my mom's boyfriend, a friend of ours, a couple other people, I've had them put the milk from the hedge apple on their skin cancer, and it goes away. It takes a little bit. Well, one of them had it real bad, so it took a while, but it went away. But that's hearsay evidence. You don't know unless you go test it for yourself. And I am not, you know, trying to, how do I put this in a PC diplomatic way? And in legalese for that matter, because the government does not want you to cure yourself, nor anyone else for that matter. So, it's technically illegal to use the cure word unless you're a doctor under the New World Order Administration. And those people don't want to cure people, so they're, you know, if they use the cure word, it's in false pretenses. So they don't really care if they use the cure word because they're not really curing anybody. They're treating people. And really, that's all I'm doing, you know. I study God's medicine, and I say God's medicine because this is part of my religion. I don't practice man's medicine. I practice God's medicine. And because God knows how to heal us. God has the cures. God is the ultimate healer. And so I'm following in God's footsteps, or Jesus' footsteps, if you will. Jesus was a healer, and he wants us to follow in his footsteps. So I'm following in Jesus' footsteps. I'm a healer. I may not be all the other things Jesus was, but I am that. So, my goal is to be the best healer I possibly can be. And in order to do so, you have to practice God's medicine. You can't practice man's medicine. So, there you go. Have I cured cancer? I can't say that I've cured it. I just know that I've helped people with it. And that's about it. Some people say that marijuana cures cancer. I don't know that it does, but I know it helps. So there you go. Hearsay evidence. Go do your own homework. All right. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical, de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, or any religious or non-religious 501c3s, or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, your homeland, and your homeland. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government. And your de jure government is we the people, not the de facto government where they rule over us. The de jure government serves the people. They don't rule over the people. The de facto government rules over the people. The de facto government is a terrorist organization. So, protect. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberties, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. You know, we the people are the standing army. 3%. The 3%ers are a spinoff from, I guess, I don't remember exactly all the details, but during the last revolution, it was approximately only 3% that actually fought for our freedoms and gave us our liberties. So we call ourselves 3%ers because even though we're not out there physically fighting, we're still fighting. And if it comes down to it, you know, I ain't got no guns, but I got friends with guns, and I know how to use them. So, you know, I'm going to protect my people. I'm going to protect my freedom. I'm going to protect my liberty. I'm going to protect my homeland. So, there you go. And that's what tomorrow's podcast is all about, scrapgovscrap.com. Check out our scrapgovscrap podcast. Let's see here. So protect. Protect your de jure government, your freedoms, your liberties, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, more specifically, love is kind, love is gentle, love is patient. Those are the things, you know, love, people argue whether love is a feeling or not, and I don't believe that it's a feeling, or that it is both. The feeling of love comes from the actions of love. If you treat a person with the kind of love that you find in 1 Corinthians 13, then they will feel love. And if they feel love, that's because you're giving them love, proper love. You know, when you first start out in a relationship, and you do all these wonderful things because you're wooing them. You're being kind. You're being gentle. You're being patient. Now, once the relationship goes on, it's hard to be patient. Oh, man, is it difficult. Being kind is, well, it depends on the person. Some people just aren't kind. For me, being kind is easy. Being gentle is easy, except, you know, in the bedroom where you're not supposed to be gentle all the time. And at that would be being kind. So, there you go. Being patient is, that's a difficult one. Let's see, love does not boast. I'm not reading this, I'm trying to go off memory. Love does not boast. Love does. I remember it's like it does not. It does not count. You know, like it doesn't hold grudges. You know, it's like somebody does you harm, and they don't mean to. You forgive them, and you don't hold them accountable for it. If they continue to do it, then you hold them accountable for it. But, you know, I guess we'll have to bring up, maybe I'll put a link into our disclaimer for 1 Corinthians 13 so I can bring it up a lot quicker. But anyway, just go there and read it. I don't have it memorized, but that is like my Ten Commandments, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. I'm sure it's more than 10. But that's like my Ten Commandments. Because if you do those things, you're not going to break the Ten Commandments. It's like, what did Jesus say when the guy said, what is the most important commandment? Jesus said, love. love God and love thy neighbor, and the rest shall follow. So if you have love, you're going to follow the Ten Commandments and or the 613 commandments. There's more than just 10. You're not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. We all know that. But anyhow, so love. La-di-da. Okay. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Of course, because the FDA doesn't want to help you. They only want to help themselves. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. And that's true. For example, my roommate. When I first moved in here, when did I move in here? It was a couple months ago. He was practically bedridden. He could barely get out of bed to go to the bathroom and eat. And now, he's off working. Basically, I moved in. I had somewhat cheap rent. It's not really that cheap because I've been forking out money for other things. But and helping the guy out. But, you know, tithe. Our tithe is to help the less fortunate. 10% of your earnings is to help those in need. So, in addition to my rent, I've been tithing to this guy. Okay. We are not supposed to do handouts. We're supposed to do hand-ups. So, this guy, he was practically bedridden. I mean, literally. He could barely get out of bed to go to the bathroom and eat. He still sleeps a lot, and he still has some pain and swelling. But my reduced rent was basically, our arrangement was, I just pay the utilities because he was behind on his utilities. He couldn't pay his, he didn't have any money. Pay the utilities and help him fix up his house so that he can sell it and move. Well, so that's where the extra money came in, because I thought he had some money. He didn't have any money. So I was paying for repairs too. Now I'm going to get some money out of the sale. And that's part of the arrangement. But, so I pay the utilities and I buy materials to help him fix up his house so he can sell it. And in return, I'm going to get basically probably about 10% of the sale, give or take. I mean, if he sells it for what I'm telling him he should sell it for, I'll get less than 10%. If he gets what I think he'll probably get, then I'll make about 10%. So, you know, aim high, you know, and, you know, people, what do they say? You can always bring your price down, but you can't bring your price up. So, yeah. Anyways, he's got a better house on one of the better houses on the block. So once we get it fixed up, and we're pretty close to being done, he can put it on the market and see what we can get. I mean, we're like not even a block from the school, and it's a perfect location for somebody with kids. They can walk to school. We're like 3 houses away from the school, bam. You know, provided you know, they're of the age bracket that goes to that school, to an elementary school. So anyways, and then everything on top of that is my tithe. You know, I've been helping the guy get healthy. Like I said, at first he couldn't even work a paintbrush. He was in so much pain and inflammation. I mean, his body was just like falling apart on him, I guess. I basically nursed him back to health, got him to where he was healthy enough and strong enough to get up and paint and do trim work and drywall, which I did most of the drywall, but he did a little. And now he's got a job. I ended up getting him a job where I work, helped him get insurance on his vehicle, and so that he could drive his vehicle. He owes me a little bit of money for that, but now he's working. And basically, after 2 weeks' pay, he can pay me back for the loan that I gave him. And he'll pay me back over about a month's time, probably, because, you know, he's not going to give me his first 2 weeks' paycheck. He kind of needs that money. I'm helping him to get on his feet. I'm helping him to get healthy and active and working so he can take care of himself. He can fend for himself. You know, so that's not a handout. It's a hand up. So my tithe, giving him, you know, helping him with food and herbs and whatnot, helping him around the house, helping him with his health. And we're growing food now in the yard, you know, things like that. We're growing our own food. Just little things like that, helping somebody get back on their feet so they can take care of themselves, so they're not feeding off the society. I mean, he was basically living off food stamps. He couldn't get any other government assistance. He just had food stamps, and that was it. And especially after I moved in, they really wouldn't help him hardly at all. But now that he's working, the food stamps are going to go away. They gave him the food stamps for this month, but next month he won't get it anymore because he's got a job and he's making halfway decent money. He qualifies for assisted health care, I think it is, but that's about all he qualifies for now. It's not Obamacare, but it's like Obamacare, which really you don't need. When I was poor and I was homeless, I went to the hospital anytime I had a problem. Of course, this is back when I was still somewhat subscribing to man's medicine. But if I had a problem, I went to a public hospital. Not a private hospital, but a public hospital. And they sent me bills that I couldn't afford, and I never paid any of them. And it never went on my credit. I still have yet to ever pay them. In my entire life, I've only paid, like, I think, 3 medical bills. And that was after I got on my feet and after I was practicing God's medicine and didn't hardly ever have to go to the doctor. And so when I did have to go to the doctor, it was mostly for, like, checkup type things. And the bills were really cheap. And so, because I didn't really need them. The doctors really, I mean, they have their purposes, but you should only need them to find out what is wrong with you. Because the doctors don't practice God's medicine. If they did, then you would need them more. But, so after you find out what's wrong with you, then you go to an herbologist, or a medicine man, or a medicine woman, and find out how to fix that problem. So anyways, So he went to the doctor, he got his blood work. So now we're going to work on, figuring out how to fix whatever is wrong with that. But the doctor said he's in pretty good health. Well, he didn't go to the doctor before when he was unhealthy. He went to the doctor like a week, not even a week ago, when he was almost healthy again. I mean, he's getting his health back. He's active. He can't run yet. But, I mean, he's only 10 years older than I am. David Ray's healthier than I am, and he's 10 years older than me. Well, I don't know if he's healthier than I am. He's stronger than I am, but I'm thinner. I'm more fit than David Ray is, but David Ray has, I guess our health is better in different ways. We both have bad habits. We both have a lot of good habits, and so we're both healthy, and we're both strong. But we're both a different, we're on different levels of being healthy and strong. And our negatives are on different levels as well. He's got more fat than I do. But he's also got more body mass than I do, period. He's just stronger. He's more like an ox. I'm more like a tiger, But he's strong like baby ox. Like this, like the lady said in Orphan Black, which I never finished watching. That's a really good show. You need to watch that. Orphan Black. If you have any Virgo in you will love that show. Anyways, so yeah, I helped this guy. Not a hand up. I mean, not a handout. I gave him a hand up. Got him healthy. He's not 100% healthy yet, but he's working on it. Between me and the herbologist here in town that I discovered and took this guy to, he didn't believe in alternative health at first. He's like, that stuff don't work. But I do aromatherapy. And so I whooped up some lotions and potions for him. And those convinced him to take the herbs. And when my herbs started helping him, then he was convinced to go see an herbologist. He tells everybody that I'm amazing and that all this other stuff. But I guess I'm a modest or a humble Leo. I'm a Leo on a Virgo cusp. But this herbologist that I took him to is like 10 times better than me, or better than that even. But he's good. His whole family's good. They're from India, and they have an herb shop, and that's their whole life. Their whole existence is healing. He studies medical astrology. I'm trying to get into that, but I'm not Virgo enough, I guess. I got a book on it that David Ray gave me. I need to read it. I just haven't. I'm so busy doing so many other things, like playing games. Not really. I am hooked on this game, Mysterio Legacy, but yeah. Anyways, yeah, so there you go. There's that. Where am I? We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and our experience. Most of them are not accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is the result of a nutritional deficient environment. feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. That's true. Last but not least, man and or other animals. We are not man animals. As described in the FDA state and federal regulations under U.S. Code Title 15, Chapter 2, Subchapter 1, Subsection 55, B and D, and then you have U.S. Code 21, Chapter 9, Subchapter 2, Subsection 321, F, and so forth. If you look up these things, you'll find out the FDA describes us as being animals. We're not animals. We may be mammals, but we're not animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast is not necessarily for you. Please go and tell your human about it. And then we have some links here on our deal regarding man or other animals. I mean, this podcast is for animals because we do talk about animal health. We talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons. We do talk about some politics. We talk about farming. We talk about getting off the grid. We talk about alternative health. We talk about gaming. We talk about everything. So if you have something you want to talk about, feel free to call in. Hey, let's talk about it. Yeah. Neither David and I called in last week, so I'm going to play Ron Paul for you this week, today, because Ron Paul's recording today will be last week's podcast subject. And then he does a new recording tomorrow, which is our Scrap Gov Scrap podcast, which we missed last week. I didn't call in. I was on a frack move or something. And David didn't call in for whatever reason. I think he lost signal or something. I don't know. So neither one of us called in last week. So I'm doing a makeup this week. I actually lost $100 because it turned down a load so that I could be here for this podcast today. So, yeah. Anyways, and I probably shouldn't be here right now. I should be working and making money. But nonetheless, feel free to call in. That's why I'm here. Our disclaimer got 35 likes, so we got at least 35 listeners, or at least 34 listeners. One of the likes is me. We got at least 34 listeners. We got probably twice that many, but at least 34 people like us. But we don't have hardly any callers. One person every couple months, few months might call in. Probably about one person every 6 months calls in. We need callers. Our callers make our podcast a heck of a lot more interesting. Call about anything. Gaming, politics, health, nutrition, getting off the grid, alternative health, whatever. Guns. Do guns cause crime? Guns cause crime about as much as spoons cause crime. It's the hand that holds the gun that causes the crime. But anyhow, so I'm going to play you this disclaimer that I have on this recording. It's a little bit shorter version. I'm going to play that real quick.
Demented Dungeons and Dragons disclaimer. Asterisk legal notice asterisk. This podcast is for educational and / or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence, and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicines. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and/or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and/or other animals, we are not man animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
Yeah. So, while that was playing, I got me a drink, and I went and looked up 1 Corinthians 13. This is First Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. Basically, if I speak in the tongues of man or of angels, but have not love, I am just a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Basically, actions speak louder than words. If you say you love somebody, you say you care about somebody, you say you believe in something or someone, but you don't show those things, you don't have any tangible evidence of that word you are backing, you know, to back you up, then you really don't have anything, you don't have a leg to stand on. Like if you go to court and you say, "Oh, Your Honor, I did this or I did not do this," and blah, 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 the judge is going to say, "Where's your evidence?" And you say, "I don't have any." Then the judge is going to say, "Well, I don't believe you." And that's basically what it boils down to. If you have the talk, but you don't walk the walk, you ain't got nothing. So that's what that's saying, basically. So if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but have not faith, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Like I said, what did Jesus say? The most important commandment is love. Love God and love thy neighbor, and the rest shall follow. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Well, yeah, it says here later, love does not boast. You know? So, here we go. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. That one's a little hard. It does not boast. There you go. It is not proud. I might do that a little bit. It does not dishonor others. It does not, or it is not self-seeking. I can be self-seeking from time to time. I probably dishonor people. I may not intend to, but I might still do it. I try not to, but I'm sure, you know, I do it from time to time. Let's see here. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. I can't say that I'm easily angered, but I can get angry. It keeps no records of wrong. There it is. That's what I was going for earlier. It doesn't keep records. So if your wife lies to you about something petty, you shouldn't beat her up, or him for that matter. You shouldn't beat him up about it for the rest of your relationship. Especially if they actually try to fix that problem. I mean, I don't like liars just like anybody else. But when you first go into a relationship, you got secrets. Because you don't know that you can trust that other person or not. And it takes time for you to open up and trust them. Or you might trust them and they might break that trust. And then you might have a hard time trusting them, and so you might lie to them. And, or the other way around. So, you know, try to have some empathy for that person because they may not mean to do it, but they're still doing it. Now, I can't say that I do that, either one for that matter. I more or less have a problem with people lying to me and having secrets with me, but I may not be so forgiving. You know, it's like I do keep records of wrong, and that's wrong. I'm keeping a record of my own wrong, let alone other people's. So love doesn't do that, and that's something I work on. I don't do it as bad as other people do, and I'm, you know, I could be better, I could be worse, but it's something we all need to work on, I'm sure. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. That I can say I do. I do not rejoice in evil. I do not delight in evil. I do rejoice in the truth. I am a truth seeker. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and always perseveres. Always is a strong word. I can't say that I always protect, I always trust, especially not trust. I don't trust anybody anymore. I don't always hope. I used to have a lot more hope than I do now. My hope is busted. Always perseveres. I guess you could say I persevere. I keep treading on and trying to persevere, but I can't say that I always persevere either. But I am a protector. Then it says love never fails. That part I have a hard time with. But, yeah. And then the rest, the part that comes after 1 through 8 is kind of eluding. So you'll have to go on and with that, with, you know, your own whatever. But faith, hope, and love. These, you know, faith, hope, and love. That's what God wants. But the greatest of these is love. That's in 1 Corinthians 13:13. You know, love God and love thy neighbor, and the rest shall follow. So there you go. All right, we're going to do Ron Paul. And then I'm going to go, I'm going to make sure I'm on board so that I can make some money and get back to my game. I guess David Ray fell asleep. But, yeah, I need to set up a trade post so I can sell some stuff. I'm going to set up two of them, one north of the farm and one south of the farm. So check out Mysterio Legacy. You can find me on the West Coast server. Just look for Drafter and you'll find me. Drafter is one of the tribal leaders. I have another kingdom which is underground right now. It's in the underworld. I can't say that you can join that kingdom or Drafter's kingdom for that matter. They call them tribes in this game. But, you know, you can be an ally to our kingdoms or tribes. But I only allow my friends, people that I know and trust, to be part of my tribe, which is the DD&D tribe. And pretty much I'm the only member, except for, well, no, I can't say I'm the only member. There's like a dozen or a half dozen members of my friends, but they're people that I talked into signing up for the game, you know, signing up and playing the game, and they lost interest and they left. Occasionally one would pop in, like, Space Cowboy pops in every now and then. I have two Kano characters. My main Kano character, I end up joining Drafter's tribe, and so I'm a member there. I'm not an elder or anything, so I don't make any rules. I'm just a chicken farmer. That's pretty much all I do. I farm chickens and feathers, and I set up a trade post and I sell things. That's it. I don't raid. I only do demolition on old buildings. You know, I see old towers that are abandoned or old doors, any kind of material that I could use. But see, hammering takes forever. You're actually going to be more successful mining than you would be hammering. So I look for decaying building parts that are close to the end of their decay. If I gotta sit and hammer forever and ever and ever to get materials, I'm not gonna do it. I'll make a note and come back. You know, it's like I'll look at the little health meter of that material, like a wall. Everything has health meter: animals, people, buildings. Everything has a health meter, and so if that health meter is at its very bottom, I mean, if it's close to falling apart and being done, it's close to being dead, if you will, then I'll get my hammer out and I'll start hammering away. And sometimes I've been as lucky as only having to do a couple hits, more than a couple, maybe like five or six hits, on an item and it fell apart and I was able to collect the material. That's ideal. I think it takes like 30 strikes on a rock in order to mine a rock and or a tree. So anything less than 30 or equivalent to 30 is good for destruction. Now, whenever we remodeled the farm the last time, the guy north of us was a tribe member that went inactive. And so I took over his place and turned that into my chicken farm. And I had to remodel by tearing out a lot of his old stuff. And so I got my hammer stats super high. I mean, when I hit something, I get like 70. I'm like at 71, level 71 striking skill. And I'm trying to figure out how to make that even better. But so I earned a lot of mats, stats, whatever, from remodeling that. But anytime I see an old building or an old door or something that's about to fall apart, shoot, yeah, I get my hammer out, and I start hammering away. And, of course, I'll make public notice that I'm using my hammer so people know I'm not raiding. But, you know, Polar, Star, and Bella, they're probably one of the biggest raiders in the game. So they don't really care if you raid as long as you don't raid them. And they actually encourage raiding. I think they've raided me once whenever I first started because I only had like one tower to protect my stuff. Somebody came in and destroyed all my stuff. And I was still kind of a noob then, but I started out on another server, so I got a little bit of experience there, which gave me a jump start when I came to the West Coast server. I have a couple characters in the Midwest server too, but they're in the underworld, holding materials and just getting ready for if I ever do decide to go to the Midwest server. But I made friends on the West Coast server. I actually ended up there kind of by accident. I meant to be on the Midwest server in the first place. But I found out about the game from Drafter. He used to play Parallel Kingdom, as did I. And then he was playing Red Towers, as was I. And we weren't friends then, but I seen that he mentioned Mysterio Legacy in the chat, Red Tower chat. And pretty much that's all Red Towers is now. I mean, the game's still up and running, but the game's very primitive, if you will. There's not really much to do there. So now it's basically just a really cool chat. Compared to, like, Map Your Empire, which really sucks. But anyhow, I never really go to Map Your Empire anymore at all. I need to go check it out, check in. But, so I found out about Mysterio Legacy from Drafter on Red Towers. So I went and signed up, and I meant to sign up on the Midwest server, but I ended up signing up on the West Coast server by accident. And then I bumped into Drafter on the West Coast server, so that's the one he was on. And so I ended up building my base across the street from him, if you will, in the game. And I had a pretty good base. It was pretty freaking awesome. There was a couple things I had to learn still to protect my stuff. because Polar Star was basically robbing me and a couple other people. But once I figured out how to prevent that, I didn't have any more problems. In fact, I earned respect. I never raided. I made it known on the server that my tribe does not raid. And, you know, nobody in my tribe raids. Of course, I was pretty much the only one there. But, you know, the people that I have as friends would not raid somebody else. It's just my friends don't think like that. You know, my friends are peaceful players. Then again, they're very defensive players. I mean, we are all very protective and defensive. We, when we were playing Parallel Kingdom, we were probably one of the strongest small kingdoms in the game. Now, there were some other big kingdoms in there that were very, very powerful, and we avoided them like the plague. But one-on-one, small, you know, smaller kingdoms, people didn't mess with us. Of course, they couldn't find our kingdom either. It was, I can't tell you where it was. It was exclusive. I mean, it was in a good spot. Nobody was there. I would have never thought to look there personally. But I mean, even where we lived, hardly anybody went there either because we lived out in the boonies. So our city, it was location-based. It was a location-based game. So where we're from, it's a small town or small towns in Cedar County, Missouri. So nobody ever went there because there was only maybe like a dozen of us players in that area. And we all ended up being on the same team. And except maybe there was one guy that passed through. He was a member of another kingdom. I think he was a truck driver and he passed through, but he ended up friending us. So he was an ally. And then there was another guy who lived in the area that hardly ever played. He was a member of our city, but not our kingdom. And we did raid him, but he never played, so it didn't matter. You know, every once in a while, he would get a message that we were raiding him, so he'd log on. And but, you know, he didn't care. And in that game, the raiding was different. You know, we had oil wells, we had crystal mines. That's pretty much it. People had houses, too. You could raid their houses. We never did that. The only thing we raided was oil wells and crystal mines. And that was a regular thing for the game. I mean, it was almost like normal. But we only raided people that were inactive. And so that game told you how inactive people were. And once you were like 2 weeks inactive, it actually labeled you as an inactive player. So we had a rule to only raid inactive players. Well, your crystal mines and your crystal huts and your oil wells, they kept producing even if you were inactive. The longer you went inactive, the less they produced. But, you know, you set up oil golems and, you know, you do the oil wells and you create oil golems. And then or your oil golems will do your work for you. So they actually mine the oil and mine the crystals while you go do other things. It was really cool. We actually ended up creating like a dozen alts for our city so that we could create more oil and more crystals, because you need those things in order to build stuff. And then, of course, we raided our alts all the time. Now, when you raid somebody in that game, you can only get like 50% of the inventory. You couldn't get all of it. Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, so we ended up setting up like a dozen alts for our city just for mining oil and crystals, so that we didn't have to go raid people. We had a ton of resources right there in our city. And it was just a small city. There was only like a half dozen players in the city, real players. And then we had another dozen alts creating resources. And that was pretty cool. And then we expanded our city because we had more active players. So we were able to make it bigger. I missed that game, Parallel Kingdom. That was a freaking awesome game. But I actually met one of the leaders in the kingdom, the king and queen's father, by raiding him. So I didn't know raiding was bad in the game at first, because I was a noob and I hadn't gamed in like 2 decades. You know, I kind of got out of gaming for like 20 years, and then after my divorce, I kind of got back into gaming, and I've been doing it since. Not like hardcore, but somewhat hardcore. And so here I was. We joined the town of El Dorado Springs, Missouri, because it was the closest real town to us in Stockton, Missouri. In the game, the game had a rule that the actual city has to have a certain number of population before you could actually make it a real city in the game. So El Dorado Springs had enough population in real life for us to make a real city in the game. So that was the closest city. And so we joined the closest city. Little did I know, this guy was the mayor of the city. And I didn't know that raiding was bad. So here I was raiding his stuff. I created my own too, but I wanted more. You know, I needed more stuff. And so I didn't know who this guy was, where he was. I didn't know he was active or inactive. I didn't know raiding was necessarily bad. So here I am, I'm raiding his stuff. He pops up out of nowhere with his trolls with like battle gear, and he throws a net over me and says, "Why are you raiding me?" And I'm like, "Sorry." You know, because here I am, I'm a noob. I have no real weapons. I have no real armor. Nothing. I mean, I'm just new. So he's like, "Why are you raiding me?" And I said, "Sorry." You know, because I couldn't move. He threw a net over me in the game. And he was checking out my stats, and he goes, "Ah, damn it, he's a noob. I can't kill him." You know, he could have killed me, but he's got morals, you know. So he didn't kill me. I mean, not that it really mattered, because I had to go red in order for him to kill me. And if he attacked me and I didn't fight back, there was nothing he could do. So that's the cool thing about that game. No, it doesn't matter how powerful you are. If the person doesn't want to fight back, you can't fight them. Unlike this game, it don't matter. You attack somebody, you can kill them, whether they want to fight or not. Which kind of sucks for me, because I'm not a fighter. I mean, I will, but I prefer not to. So, even if he did try to kill me, he probably wouldn't have or couldn't have because I didn't or wouldn't have fought back, maybe. I don't know. So instead, he gave me a really freaking cool weapon. I mean, this is a powerful weapon. And anybody could use a powerful weapon in that game. In Mysterio Legacy, you have to be a certain level to use certain weapons. So you have to, you know, a noob can't use a powerful weapon because they haven't graduated. So it gave me this really cool, powerful weapon that helped me advance in the game dramatically. I mean, if it wasn't for this weapon, it would took me forever to advance because I didn't have the money, the wherewithal, or anything to get this weapon on my own. For a while. I mean, I figured things out later and ended up with all kinds of awesome freaking gear. And I was super powerful, even though I was still not really that powerful. You know, I was like, my personal stats were like kind of mediocre. But I had really powerful gear because I figured out how to make money in the market. They had a trade hub, or they had more than one trade hub, but they had like three main trade hubs. And so I learned how to work those trade hubs, and I made a killing. I became what they call PK rich. Almost overnight. In fact, I was like an investor. I would borrow food or gold, because food is money in the games. Not so much this game, but the other game. This game, feathers are like gold. Everybody wants them. So that's why I farm feathers. But I sell more feathers than I do anything. So anyhow, I found out what the market wanted, and I made a killing. So I became rich, and I bought all kinds of freaking awesome gear. And I became powerful just because I had money. Like I said, my personal stats weren't that high, but I was working on leveling up my character. At the same time, I had all these freaking cool weapons and armor. So, rating. Yeah. So, but even in that game, we only raided people that were inactive after we found out that raiding is a bad thing. So, then Red Towers, after Parallel Kingdom died, Red Towers came out. You can't raid anybody in Red Towers yet. You can't even kill anybody in Red Towers yet. The only thing you can do is burn their flags. So, but we don't even do that. We very rarely will attack and burn somebody's flag. That's the biggest no-no in the game because it's the only evil doing you can do. But now nobody cares. It's like, who cares? But this game, Mysterio Legacy, it's very sensitive. Like I said, I belong on the East Coast server because they got a no rating policy. Where so do I. My kingdom does not raid. My friends will not raid. now, the kingdom that I am with right now and the kingdom I was with prior, they raid all the time. Which makes me question, why am I with that kingdom? Well, I'm only with that kingdom because I made friends there. I'm probably the only person there that doesn't raid. But with the exception of, like I said, I have raided a couple times, if you consider that raiding, inactive players. You know, their buildings, their stuff's falling apart. And I know somebody else is going to come and take it, so I get it before they do. I think that would be considered looting rather than raiding. So, you know, looting the homes of the dead, you know, I'll loot inactive players, but I won't raid people. So, and I think the kingdom that I joined pretty much follows the same philosophy. But I think they raid active players too. And noobs, I want to create another kingdom for noobs for protection. You know, it's like a noobville outside of noobville. Because when you sign up for this game, you start out in noobville. But once you get so much experience, they kick you out of noobville. And so I want to create like a Noobville 2 and tribe where all the noobs can come and join and learn and grow together. But that will be difficult. But if I ever... if I ever get outside of this kingdom again, I lost ownership of the DD&D tribe, and I don't know how to get it back. I think I have to, like, make sure all the members leave the tribe so that the tribe basically doesn't exist anymore and then recreate it. So, and that's going to be a challenge, because even if they're inactive, the game considers the tribe active. So, yeah, I don't know how to do that. So, if I can't reclaim ownership of my tribe, because I forgot to give, so I have two Kano characters, and I didn't know to turn over ownership of the tribe to my other character before I left. I left and I joined Bar, which is the most powerful tribe in the game, or on the West Coast server. I joined them for a little while because they wanted my basement of my old farm base. And so at that point, I kind of lost interest and let my farm go to ruins. And then Drafter and his people, they left Core, because Core and Bar was pretty much, or not Core, I forgot the name of that tribe. Well, anyways, Polar Star and Core were the same people. He was basically playing both sides, and he had the two most powerful kingdoms, or tribes, in the game. And so, little did people know that they were owned by the same person with two different characters. And Polar Star was one, and Core was the other. Come to find out, he's not a good player. He's an evil player, him and his wife. Now, I have an alliance with them. I have a friendship with them, if you will. I know they're not good people, and I'm only friends with them for my own protection. But at the same time, I don't do anything against them because I know they could kill me. And I don't want them to raid me. I don't want them to destroy my stuff. So on and so forth. It's kind of like the New World Order. Government. You know, yeah, I might spit in the government's face a little bit. But they're powerful. They can come and destroy me if I push the envelope too much. Well, these guys, you push the envelope at all, they'll come and kill you. So I'm just, like, really nice to them, even though I don't believe in anything or most anything that they do. But I know they can kill me, so I keep the peace. I want to be a peaceful player. I'm nice to everybody anyways. I got no beef with them. I don't plan to have a beef with them. So there you go. But yeah. So I want to create a tribe for the noobs to kind of help protect them and educate them so that so that they're not so much a victim. And if I do create that, I would basically just recruit every noob that I came across. And it's hard to tell who's actually a noob or not because people rebirth after like level 60. And so then you start all over again. So it would be hard to identify who was actually a noob or not. But I think if I created that kingdom, it would probably end up growing and being one of the most powerful kingdoms. But the problem with that is it would be a peaceful kingdom, and that's against Core, Polar Star, and Bella's mantra or motto for the West Coast server. They're vicious, and they want the server to be vicious. Therefore, they promote war and violence. And therefore, I'm probably on the wrong server. But I've managed to get along. I've managed to get by. I've only been killed a couple times. So, I've kept the peace with Polar and Bella. It's funny, too, because Bella and Core are a Polar Star. Was talking on the chat. I think you guys heard me about. He goes, Bella don't like nice guys. And then Bella said, yeah, nice guys are too vanilla for me. And then I was like, you don't like me? And then I did the poop emoji. And then she goes, I like you fine, Kano. So I'm probably the only nice guy she likes. But I'm really not that vanilla either. I'm just a peaceful player. But yeah, I was like, I'm a nice guy. Bella likes me. And then she said, I don't like nice guys. They're too vanilla. And I go, you don't like me? And then I did the poop emoji. And then she's like, I like you just fine, Kano. And then I did the happy face with a big grin, the chessy cat grin. But, yeah, you know, I've created a trust amongst, you know, certain players in that game who are powerful. You know, I think I'm going to be just fine on the West Coast server. I can be a neutral. I can be a peaceful player. I might still get attacked and raided from time to time, but overall, people see me as a good guy, and you're not going to mess with me too much. So, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah. Let's do Ron Paul. It's 11:30. Ron Paul, here we go.
The February mass shooting at a high school in Parkland, Florida, prompted many parents to consider homeschooling. This is hardly surprising, as the misnamed federal gun-free schools laws leave school children defenseless against mass shooters. Removing one's children from government schools seems a rational response to school shootings. School shootings are not the only form of violence causing more parents to consider homeschooling. Many potential homeschooling parents are concerned about the failure of school administrators to effectively protect children from bullying by other students. Of course, many parents choose homeschooling as a means of protecting their children from federal education reforms such as Common Core. Other parents are motivated by a desire to protect their children from the cultural Marxism that has infiltrated many schools. The spread of cultural Marxism has contributed to the dumbing down of public education. Too many government schools are more concerned with promoting political correctness than ensuring that students receive a good education. Even if cultural Marxism did not dumb down education, concerns that government schools are indoctrinating children with beliefs that conflict with the parents' political, social, and even religious beliefs would motivate many families to homeschool. Even when government schools are not intentionally promoting cultural Marxism or other left-wing ideologies, they are still implicitly biased toward big government. For example, how many government schools teach the Austrian economics explanation for the Great Depression, much less question the wisdom of central banking or critically examine justifications for America's hyper-interventionist foreign policy? Parents interested in providing their children with a quality education emphasizing the ideas of liberty should consider looking into my homeschooling curriculum. The Ron Paul curriculum provides students with a well-rounded education that includes rigorous programs in history, mathematics, and the physical and natural sciences. The curriculum also provides instruction in personal finance. Students can develop superior oral and verbal communication skills via intensive writing and public speaking courses. Another feature of my curriculum is that it provides students with the opportunity to create and run their own businesses. The government and history sections of the curriculum emphasizes Austrian economics, libertarian political theory, and the history of liberty. However,
to repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, June 4th. The February mass shooting at a high school in Parkland, Florida, prompted many parents to consider homeschooling. This is hardly surprising, as the misnamed federal gun-free schools laws leave school children defenseless against mass shooters. Removing one's children from government schools seems a rational response to school shootings. School shootings are not the only form of violence causing more parents to consider homeschooling. Many potential homeschooling parents are concerned about the failure of school administrators to effectively protect children from bullying by other students. Of course, many parents choose homeschooling as a means of protecting their children from federal education reforms such as Common Core. Other parents are motivated by a desire to protect their children from the cultural Marxism that has infiltrated many schools. The spread of cultural Marxism has contributed to the dumbing down of public education. Too many government schools are more concerned with promoting political correctness than ensuring that students receive a good education. Even if cultural Marxism did not dumb down education, concerns that government schools are indoctrinating children with beliefs that conflict with the parents' political, social, and even religious beliefs would motivate many families to homeschool. Even when government schools are not intentionally promoting cultural Marxism or other left-wing ideologies, they are still implicitly biased toward big government. For example, how many government schools teach the Austrian economics explanation for the Great Depression, much less question the wisdom of central banking or critically examine justifications for America's hyper-interventionist foreign policy? Parents interested in providing their children with a quality education emphasizing the ideas of liberty should consider looking into my homeschooling curriculum. The Ron Paul curriculum provides students with a well-rounded education that includes rigorous programs in history, mathematics, and the physical and natural sciences. The curriculum also provides instruction in personal finance. Students can develop superior oral and verbal communication skills via intensive writing and public speaking courses. Another feature of my curriculum is that it provides students with the opportunity to create and run their own businesses. The government and history sections of the curriculum emphasizes Austrian economics, libertarian political theory, and the history of liberty. However,
to repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay, so that was partially an advertisement for Ron Paul's curriculum, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. What I got from all of that is, the government, we all know that, well, not all of us, most of us who are awake know that most all of these school shootings are fake. Some of them may have happened, and that's mostly just because of copycats. But, and the government's just taking advantage of the crisis. Never let a good crisis go to waste. The government wants our guns. They think that if they can take our guns, they can control us and therefore have more power. They brainwash us into thinking that, oh, guns cause crime when actually people cause crime. Bad people cause crime, like the government. The government's the biggest bullies and the biggest criminals in the country. I mean, in the world, you know. So anyway, they're trying to promote, gun-free zones and taking away guns and blah, blah, blah. And they're creating, I believe, they create these problems so they can advocate a solution for the problem. Well, their solutions aren't working. People are trying to take their kids, people are taking their kids out of the schools because the governments are shooting up the schools. Well, to me, it looks like it's backfiring on the government because, nobody wants their kids in a school that's where they're not going to be safe. And the government wants us to be in public school, because that's how they brainwash the kids. That's how we were brainwashed when we were kids. We didn't know any better. We woke up along the way. Our parents weren't awake. They're still somewhat not awake. But my parents are more awake now than they were. My dad was in the military. He knows how the government is. He's been there, done that. My mom, she only is a little bit awake because my grandpa was awake. Her dad was in the military too growing up. He grew up on a farm, joined the military, fought in war. got out, went to the city, and started his own business, and raised 4 kids, and did very well for himself. And he was very anti-government, because the government are the biggest thieves, It's like Ron Paul used to have on his desk when he was a congressman.
don't steal. The government hates competition. You know, my grandfather knew that. He knew they were the biggest criminals on the block. And so he didn't, like, educate me hardcore. But I remember him telling me things growing up. You know, make sure you get as much money back as possible. You know, don't be ashamed to take your money back from the government because they're stealing it in the first place. That's where I first got that notion. It was from my grandpa. My parents didn't have that notion. They were brainwashed. You know, to a degree. That, you know, my dad does taxes. I mean, he's always been really good at doing taxes and getting as much money back as possible. But, you know, he didn't see it as the government was stealing his money. He just saw it as, I'm going to get as much money back as possible. You know, I'm going to use the loopholes. I'm going to use the deductions. I'm going to get as much money back as I can because my dad's greedy, which is good to a degree, you know. My dad's a good business. No, I wouldn't say he's a good businessman, but he's good business-minded, wise as far as saving money and managing money. My dad's pretty good at that. I wish I was as good as he is with it. He's good with paperwork. He's good with all that stuff. You know, if he had more money, he would probably make a good Dave Ramsey, except for the fact that he believes in credit cards. He does go in debt, but he pays his debts. So he's still a good slave to the system. But he still manages his money pretty well, considering. I'm trying to be more like Dave Ramsey. Don't subscribe to debt. Save as much money as possible. My biggest problem is I don't save as much money as possible. I do save money, but not as much as I should or could. So anyway, but public schools, they want us to be in public schools. They want to brainwash us. So, you know, this whole thing looks like it's backfiring on them. Well, they don't want public school. I mean, they don't want private schools. They don't want homeschooling. So all these parents that are pulling their kids out of public school and homeschooling them, there's going to be a backlash because that's against what the government wants. And so the government's going to do something to punish them. They already make it difficult for people to homeschool. So... And they're working on making it as difficult as possible. But I don't know. That's basically what I got from Ron Paul's message. You know, it appears that their whole plan is backfiring on them because they staged a lot of these school shootings so that they can take our guns. And instead, people are taking their kids out of the public schools, which is not what the government wants. That's a good thing. But there's going to be a backlash for that, I guarantee. Because the government wants our guns. They want our kids in public schools so they can brainwash them. So something's going to happen. I don't know what. So that's that. We're over 2.5 hours. Going on 3 hours. I'm going to end the podcast now. Don't forget to check us out in the future at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. The time and number may change, but right now we are at Saturday nights at 9 p.m. Central Daylight Time or 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And... our ScrapGov Scrap podcast is on Sundays, approximately 7:30. Basically, once you get out of church. Whatever time you get out of church, get ready to call in or listen. Wait, can't listen. You can call in and listen. We can have like 12 callers. You can call in and listen, or you can call in and talk, preferably talk. And there you go. So DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com or ScrapGovScrap.com. I do kind of want to start talking more about gaming on Demented Dungeons and Dragons. But like I said, we talk about everything, including but not limited to, you know, gaming. So there you go. All right. Check out our sponsors, which is me, basically KCLAI.com, KCLA International, short for Kansas City. KCLAI is short for Kansas City, Los Angeles, International. And I also own KCLAInternational.com. Check those out if you need a website or buy a domain name or need web hosting. We do that. Mostly my business partners. I'm kind of getting away from all that. But at KCLAManagement.com, you can see my projects and what I'm doing. The project that you won't see that I'm doing is the company that I'm working for here in the oil field. I've created a website for them. Basically, it's a social network. About 25% of our people have signed up to it. I'm pretty much the only one who has done any work. But I'm posting, like, location information to all the wells so people know where to go and how to get there. People know, like, say, let's see, the Trinity. I just updated that one because another driver gave me updated information on it. So the paperwork basically gives you directions. And that's it. Oh, I don't have a plan ID number. I need a plan ID number for that. So I'll get that. I'll leave in the comments section. Does anyone have a plan ID for this location? Question mark. Okay. Host reply. Now I could call my old supervisor and the guy who gave me the pin drop for this location to get the plan ID, but I'm trying to promote activity, trying to promote people to post updates and stuff like that. So I'm going to use the website to request this information. Maybe somebody will put it in there. So, yeah. So now that I posted that comment, that job is going to go to the top of the board. So people are more likely to click on it first. Especially if they're going to that location. So there you go. But that's why I created the site in the first place, was to do the pin drops, because I was actually texting trying to get pin drops, and I was putting all these pin drops in my Google Maps, and now I got so many pin drops, I don't know where anything is. Because they're all like, it's all one big blue blob. And if I don't have an idea where it is, I can't find it. So I created this website for that, so I can organize everything by name and have directories and make everything a lot easier to find and to share with others. So, but now it's going to be like a whole bunch of other stuff. It's like a social network for the company. We have news so we can post updates there, and safety messages, events post-safety meetings, photos. Sometimes we have photo cards that we handwrite, and we share those via text. When I get those, supervisors put those together. I post them to the website. Anything that's job pertaining, I post to the website so that people can basically be up to date on all the stuff. I'm now the safety manager for the company. I just got promoted at the beginning of this month. No, the beginning of last month. So now I got all the safety stuff I got to do. So I'm implementing that into the website as well. A whole bunch of safety stuff. So I got news. I got downloads. The downloads is like file sharing, which we can't do yet because that's a pay option for the social network that I'm using. So I upload stuff to my server and then create a link to it. Pin drops, I do that. Location information, I'm doing that in the forum section. The news is in the blog section. So the supervisors, the bosses, safety guy, me, we can post stuff there. Members, groups, I created groups because we like that. Four states that we operate in, so I've got four groups for each state. Photos, already covered that. Videos is mostly going to be safety videos, instructional videos, and then events, pretty much going to be safety meetings and whatnot. So I created that for the company. That's a project that I'm working on. I don't really do websites for other people. That's my business partner's department. That's solely what they do. They only have like one or two websites of their own. Everything else they do for other people. Me, 99% of my websites are mine. And I very rarely help other people with their websites. But people have been coming to me for years saying, I need a website. I need help with my website. Blah, 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 blah. So now I have two business partners that I send all that business to. I own the server. I don't really make a profit off of it because one of my business partners runs the server. So I don't do any work. He does all the work. Therefore, he makes all the money off of that. Then I get to, I pay for the server. I use the server. I don't got to worry about maintaining it. My business partner does that. Bam, it's a win-win solution. He makes money off of it. So, hey, that's how I pay him to manage the server. The other business partner, he kind of has his own server, but he has the option to use ours as well. We actually have two of them. One I manage, but it's also managed by the people who actually own the server. And I'm fixing to move our other server to another location that's somewhat managed as well. But we don't really need a lot of help managing a server. We pretty much know everything we need to know. But occasionally we run into a bump in the road and we need some help. And so we're moving our server to another location where they actually will help us. We're right now with GoDaddy and they don't really help us. GoDaddy kind of sucks when it comes to hosting. That's where I sell my domain names. And I do sell GoDaddy hosting if you want GoDaddy hosting. I have a reseller account with GoDaddy, so I sell GoDaddy products. Their hosting is not that great. We actually do better hosting than they do. Their web development, their proprietary web development software, not that great. Ours is non-proprietary. So if you want a website, you're really better off to go out with someone like us. You don't have to use us, but go with someone like us. we're non-proprietary. Our stuff is more open source. It's a lot viable. And if you quit us, you can take your stuff somewhere else. Where GoDaddy is proprietary, you can't take it somewhere else, provided the person you want to take it to doesn't have the skills to manipulate their software like we do. We can take GoDaddy's software and convert it to our own. It's not easy, but we can do it. I've done it. And if I can do it, my business partners can do it because they're like 10 times or more better than me. One of them is like a genius. He helped write Oracle. If you know anything about Oracle, freaking, that's like hardcore software. This guy's a programmer. He's like a genius. I call him BM McCoydle. He's like the brain of brains. he's like probably 100 times smarter than me when it comes to IT. My other business partner, I can't say that I taught him everything he knows. I taught him everything I know or tried to. There's still some things he doesn't understand that I do, and so I do those things. But for the most part, I taught him everything he knew to get started, and then he took off and surpassed me. He's a lot better at web development than I am. So, in my opinion, he thinks I'm better than him, but which is good that he's modest like that. the other guy, he's like I said, he's a genius. He's 100 times better than us. And he knows it, and that's okay. But Terry's modest. He's humble. So we all three work together. I'm a Leo. Jamie is a Sagittarius. He's the genius. And Terry is an Aries. So there you go. We're astrological trine. Not all of our planets line up, but where I'm compatible with Terry, where I'm not compatible with Jamie, Terry is compatible to Jamie. Where I'm not compatible to Terry, Jamie is compatible to him, and vice versa, and so on and so forth. So we really do make a good team. So there you go. We all pretty much do the things that the other guys can't do or don't want to do. So, yeah, we're a dynamic trio. Three guys and a couple servers. But so check out kclai.com. If you need a website, need any kind of IT stuff, check us out. See what we can offer. If we can't help you, then, you know, hey, go check out somebody else. I need to update that website still. I haven't updated it since like 2012. It's almost a decade old. I need to update it, but it still pretty much explains everything that we do. And so it doesn't really need updating. There's just a couple glitches on there, and it's out of date. But, hey, it is what it is. I mean, we're simple. We can create some high-tech websites, but we try to keep it simple. Because the more high-tech you go, the more complicated it gets. And the more problems you potentially have. I mostly do social networks and social integrations. I can build you a dateline. It's not going to be cheap, but I can do that. I can also teach you how to run it and how to do most of the IT work. Some of it I can't even do. That's where Jamie comes in. He's the brain. He has to go in and do all the coding stuff. So I pay him or I barter with him to do those things, and you would have to do the same. But, yeah, if you have a great Dateline idea. You think you can make a Dateline successful? Great. I can help you with that. We can help you with that. I got a couple of them I'm working on. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm just getting out of the IT business altogether. I'm only, maybe not altogether, but I'm only doing what, I'm only continuing what I'm already doing until it fails completely, and then I'm going to move on. I'm now focusing on farming, getting off the grid, alternative energy, stuff like that. That's the direction I'm going. And I guess podcasting, too, because I'm halfway decent at it. I'm not as good as Art Bell or Hannity or Alex Jones or those people. But who knows? I might be the next one of those guys. But who knows? We'll see about that. But I know David talks about this one guy has a lot more listeners than we do, and his podcast is worse than ours. So we got some potential. He's got sponsors and the whole nine yards. Our only sponsor really is myself and Lenny Ladner, which owns Lenny owns scrapgovscrap.com. And so I basically took that, and I'm taking it to the next level. So I still got to work on it. But if you go to scrapgovscrap.com, you'll have the index page where it's got like, it looks like it's not active. It's not working. I got to work on a cover page for it. But we got a blog that's we're not doing anything with yet. Lenny used to have scrapgovscrap at a blog, and he had one follower, and that was me. So when I recreated it, I created a blog for him to do. And we'll post up there too from time to time, but we just haven't done it yet. And we got our own little video site, kind of like our own little YouTube, if you will. And then we got the podcast, and that's pretty much it right now. So, but I need to create a cover page. I just haven't done it yet. I need to do a lot of things that I ain't got time for. So there you go. Anyways, so that concludes the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons & Dragons. All right, talk to you later. Bye.